Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. We are glad to have you guys with us. For Ava, you're in the house here.
I'm always here.
Don, making a guest appearance.
Yeah, I'm here. Been busy.
Love to have you, Don, no matter what it is. The show will go a little bit longer today than normal, but that's okay. At least in the recording side of it, what are you going to say? Hey, we've got a great show today. We've got Jim Justison on. He's from the Minnesota Walleye Advisory Council. We're going to be talking a little bit about what the proposal for the DNR is for the state walleye limit reduction. That and more, you're going to want to listen to this when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to see you, Ava.
It's good to see you, Eric.
Don.
Yeah, it's good to be back for a short stint.
Wow.
Well, you're going somewhere cool, though.
I am, and I'm going to try to join us next week from the SHOT Show in Las Vegas.
What's the weather going to be like?
Well, it appears, you know, first day is the range day, which I look forward to. I have the opportunity to sit down at the benches on the long range, which is what I enjoy the most. And
so what's the forecast going to be?
Well, the forecast, I think, is rainy and about 60 on range day, but after that it's going to be about 64.5 every day, sunny.
So that's not winds, Vegas weather, Don.
Winds about four mile an hour,
couple so, clicks to the
I mean,
right.
Last year when we were on range day, it was like 35-40 mile an hour gust. It's really hard to hit targets at 500 yards.
That's entertainment there.
Yeah, it is.
About eight clicks to the right. And
well, no, actually you said 12 and I shot and he goes, I didn't even see dust.
That
spotter,
that know? Good.
Yeah, you go. Yeah, I didn't think I was very close on that one. That was a 12,
wow.
That was a 1,200 yard shot. You can't see the target with your naked eye.
No,
you got to get in the scope, and they walk you up the terrain. And there was two targets. There was a square one on one side, a round on the to the right of it, about 10 yards.
So give you an idea how high to pull.
Well, they had the rifles sighted in for those distances, but then the spotters are determining the humidity and windage and all of those factors and trying to dial you in. But if you don't make the exact adjustment and you don't know in that the gust of wind out there can be totally different than what you're experiencing here. So like he said, I didn't even see dust on that one. So
what were you shooting?
I think I was shooting a Christensen. It was about a $10,000.
What caliber?
That was a 308.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny.
I mean, you could be
you
off 20 yards with that kind of wind and that did.
At oh,
that distance.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you get out that far.
Yeah.
You start to lose trajectory.
Well, everything changes, you know, in flight.
Drops off.
I mean, it feels like a 2 second delay from the time you pull the trigger to the.
I want you to shoot a 50 cal out there. That's what I want you to shoot.
They have a 50 cal.
I want you to shoot.
I have shot a 50 cal before.
Well, I want to hear this year you go out and shoot it, and what was the experience? I think a lot of people will want to know what's it like to shoot a 50 cal, because I have not shot a 50 cal. I've shot a lot, but not a 50 cal.
Well, there will be a difference, because a 50 cal on a tripod or a bipod, probably be on a bipod, is going to be a lot different than the one I shot in the military that was mounted on a Jeep.
That would be, well, no, yeah, again, we're talking accurate 50 cal versus a.
But we, you know, in the military, we were shooting at 55 gallon barrels 1 mile away, 5,280 feet away. And you literally, in that case, you're using tracers and you're walking it up. You know, you're not sighting.
So the 50 cal. You know, of course, now if you look at the primary long distance military, they are not all 50 cal anymore. They're changing calibers. So it's they're dropping calibers and doing some different things to get accuracy up and portability and everything else.
Yeah, so that's range day. I mean, it's they've got every pistol. They have literally 200 manufacturers on the firing line. You can go up and down it, and you can choose the manufacturers that you want to try their firearms.
How many people are
they only
there?
allow 2,000 people from around the world. It's an invited. It took me 2 years to get invited, and I don't want to pass it up when I get the chance.
No, well, and then how long do you have to wait? Like, if you wanted to shoot a certain gun, on average,
well, keep in mind, if you average that out, there's only 10 people standing at any firearm. Once they've shot it, they've moved on to the next, and not everybody has the same interest. A lot of guys are. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got a whole field of those companies with say shotguns, you know, Benelli's and Browning and those kind of things. So you can go over and shoot trap if you want. I did that too. They just gave you a box of shells and they say, have at it, have fun. And then they've got new firearms that they look like an AR, but they're 12 gauge.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy.
Oh, yeah. I think the important thing here too, Don, is, and even when you look at it, it's like is in any new product demo that you'll have, a lot of dealer meetings we go to, that I go to in the Marine world, if you have a new product that somebody, you know, it's touted, it's like, this is the new thing, people are going to jam and flock to that new piece.
Sure, so you'll wait longer for that.
Right. And again, it's because this is a buying show for dealers to go to experience what they want to carry in their stores. So they'll come away with this. They'll send in orders when they get done with this show based on whatever promotions are going on, what they test in the field, what they think is good. And they'll go that way with it. And really, that's what it comes down to. So you may have a new pistol and a new rifle and a new shotgun, and there's like five new pieces that everybody wants to be able to try because it's the hot thing. Same thing happens with the boat side, motor side. It happens in skis. It happens in every element when it comes to a buying show. And that's what makes the buying shows kind of cool, because you get first look at it and you get first attempt to say, okay, this is cool. And once you experience it, then it comes back to the wherever your dealership is, and you can talk it up with the customer. Say, "Hey, I shot it. This is amazing." Or
yeah, I mean, in this particular situation, you actually get hands on. You get a chance to fire that. I mean, you know, the long range rifles. Keep in mind, the ammunition is fairly testing. If you got that many, if all 2,000 people shot that rifle that day, they'd spend a load of money. but there was usually like three people. I'm waiting to get up to the bench on the rifle that you want.
And how many shots do you get?
Well, you'll take anywhere from 3 to 5.
Yeah, I'd say you'd get a good feel of.
That's all you're going to shoot anyway, and then you give the gun a rest, rifle a rest.
Yeah,
because
rifles don't shoot like a handgun.
Well, they're not. Yeah,
they're not designed to shoot.
No, the barrel will get hot.
You'll heat the barrel up.
Yeah,
and then the barrel will have a movement to it, and that's one of the biggest things. You never shoot in more than a five grouping.
Yeah, some of these are even composite. You know, barrels, lightweight.
Gotta love that.
Oh, they're nice.
Don's drooling on the table. Can you get him a napkin? Can you wipe that up before break? All right, tell you what, we are going to be back. We're going to be talking with Jim Justison from the Minnesota Walleye Advisory Council. What's coming up in the state's proposal for limits across the state, but it may be coming to your state. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have everybody hanging in with us. We've got a great second half of the show coming up. Of course, I'd like to have you guys check us out. Where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And on?
Oh, I get the Facebook one. The Valley Outdoors.
On Facebook.
The Valley Outdoors on Facebook. Exactly right. So that's going to be the two places you can check us out. And, of course, the website's got all the interactive cool stuff done.
Yes. You know, the nice thing about our website is if you see a map of the continental United States, you can just simply click on a state. It'll take you right to the Department of Natural Resources for whatever state.
Or Game Fish and Wildlife, whatever their label is.
Whatever they call their division, anyway, from that state. So if you need to find out, you know, license information, limits, seasons, all that kind of stuff, easy to find on there.
It's right there. Well, and again, limits are something we're going to be talking about right now. And our guest, I went through amazing channels to find Jim's number to get a hold of him. It was, you wouldn't believe it, Don. I'll tell you later. But
okay,
I'm glad I was able to get a hold of you, Jim. Jim Justison, he's part of the Minnesota Walleye Advisory Council. And the reason that I like to have this right now is this may be coming to a state near you. It's not just may happen in the state of Minnesota and I don't have to worry about it. You need to consider that it may be in a state because we're across multiple states in the show. We want to make sure you understand this same kind of thing that Minnesota now has put as a proposal may happen to you. We'll bring in Jim. Jim, good to hear from you. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Good to be with you guys.
Awesome. I'm glad you could join us. So, you know, Jim, a recent article that was in the Star Tribune, and it was referring to the proposed restricted walleye limit possession and daily of 4 fish from 6. What was your take on when you saw that? You know, give us a flavor of where you kind of immediately, what was your first thoughts when you saw the limit of 4 was being proposed?
Well, it's been proposed in the past. We've been, Walleye Advisory has been working on that or dealing with that and talking about that issue for the past 7 or 8 years. So this is not new to us. And an attempt was tried last year through one of the state senators, Kerry Rood, and that bill didn't get passed. So the DNR is thinking, and the DNR does a great job gathering data and managing this resource. But we're looking at the current data and saying there just is not a lot of evidence for this. And it's not just some people on the Walleye Advisory Council, but some former DNR area fisheries manager who have retired are weighing in, and everybody's basically asking the question, what for?
And
why reduce it?
And in your, like I said, flash came through as far as in your mind. What was the first thing? Was it, what in the world, here we go again? Or was it, oh, this isn't going to be a big deal, we beat it down before?
No, it's turned into what I would call in some cases, just a matter of opinion. So some people have the opinion that we ought to do it. It's a matter of our heart. It's going to preserve the resource, a lot of other issues like that. But they're not looking at the science and any of the data.
You know, and I think
or they're looking, but maybe they're not. It's not resonating.
Exactly. You know, and I will say this. You know, Don and I were talking off air, and we have differing opinions on it. But what I find is that I have a chart that shows that we actually are the most restrictive as far as limits in both possession and daily in the country. And when you look at that piece of the puzzle, it ends up being, okay, so what is really going on? Because that doesn't seem to have a backing. If we're already the most restrictive, you know, I'm looking at states like, I'll give you an example. Illinois has 6, and they don't have a possession limit. We're looking at, what else would it be here, Don? Ohio, 6 daily. Well, you get your daily limit as a possession, so every day you go, you get 6 fish.
Yeah,
when you go to Lake Erie.
For the most part, in Ohio, we're probably just talking about Erie.
Yeah. Wisconsin, it's 5, but you get 10 as a possession. So when it comes down to that, when you're talking about that, Jim, and you're a numbers guy, that's, you know, we know that. When you look at that, you say the numbers don't back it up. What's your take on that side of it as far as what do you think is really impacting that?
Well, let's just back up a sec. the DNR estimates, and they do a good job of it, that 40 to 50% of the walleyes caught and kept are done on the big lakes. And there's like 13 big lakes. You know, you got Winnie, Vermilion, there's just a whole host of them all the way up to Rainy, blah, blah, blah. All of those, with three exceptions, have four per day bag limits. So essentially, most of the state, or most of the fish caught in the state, are caught on lakes with four on a daily bag. Winnie's different. Winnie's got six, and you know, there's Red Lake's different. It's four, goes to four to five. And but anyway, that's that part of that. Backing up a little further, the Creel surveys, and only really good Creel survey I know of was back in 1996 or 95, and it was on Winnie. In those days, there was no restrictions. It was six per day, any size fish, six per day. They surveyed over 14,000 boaters and people who fish, and it got them at the landing sites, and they just asked the question, how many fish have you got, and how many of you had your limit? Do you want to take a guess on the number of people who caught their limit?
Go ahead, Don. Take a guess.
Very few.
Good, Don. 143, so 1.1%. Now, that study's real old, and I realize that, and it was taken in June, I think, primarily. And so
my
no
brain
evidence.
Takes me down along the line that the reason that the limits weren't caught is because the population of fish wasn't that great. Is that hold true?
Yes, spot on. But, you know, that varies by lake. And so each lake of the small lakes versus the bigs are all under a DNR management plan, usually involving a lake association for input. And so the lakes vary quite a bit in terms of their stocking strategy, and they vary quite a bit because of their due to their net sample numbers, walleye net sample numbers. So some lakes have four, you know, per lift. Some have eight, 22 up at Red Lake. You're up in the 60s sometimes, so it just depends.
Right.
But all that is data that we use to talk about what to do, how to stock the lake, how to manage the lake.
Well, Jim, I think the part that comes down to it is, if they're doing by emotion, they're not doing anything to help when it comes down to tourism, because as it is now, and of course, Don and I differ here, it's not a matter of if you can take the fish. It's like if you have the ability to get six fish and you get a chance to, that's your fish. That's all you get, period.
I share your view. It's the goal of I'm going out to fish, and it's a mark of my skill if I can catch my limit.
And it's a mark that I can have a fish fry of.
Yes.
Exactly. So a lot of times that's what it comes down to, and it makes it difficult, especially when you have a daily possession. That's why going to Lake Erie, it's amazing what they can do with it, that they can do with the daily. But, again, almost every state that's out there has a double daily, you know, and it's not part of the discussion right now, is double the daily.
It's coming up, Eric.
Which is good.
The discussion is coming up, yeah. And I think, you know, there might be some people that want to use that as a bargaining chip and trade off and say, okay, if you buy the four per day, we're going to do this. And I'm still of the camp that, in my mind, doing it for your heart is not just the best reason to do it. And I think what it might do is just reduce opportunities. So I go out several times a year. I have a cabin in northern Minnesota and fish some lakes up there. And it's just a good thing that, you know, you just want to, you know, let's get some fish, you know.
Exactly.
Get them when they're biting, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I don't like people telling me all I need is two for a meal or something like that. That's my business. I buy my license. I get to do what I do, what the license restrictions are, and I get to fish that way. And the DNR has done a good job with that, you know. And we're proud on the Walleye Advisory Committee. We've got a great bunch of people. Some are guides. Some are in the manufacturing side. A lot of people fish and fish a lot. And so they're providing input as citizens to the DNR on matters like this.
No, and, you know, you guys do provide a absolutely valuable resource because you're taking it from a non-political side of the fence. And yes, that's one of my biggest issues is when a lot of this happens, it becomes to political football. Mille Lacs has been a political football in the regulations, which is it's a mess. It needs to be managed as a resource. We probably would agree on that. I know I talked to some CEOs up there off the record, and their commentary has been that it's been, you know, what's going on is crazy. And what you
well,
and I were
up,
go ahead.
That restriction is, you know, based on the Supreme Court decision, you know, a long time ago in the 90s. And that lake is managed with Glyphwic, which are eight of the Ojibwe tribes, six in Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, and then our DNR. But the original proposition was, we're going to give you half the walleye biomass, you know, on Mille Lacs. And then how do you measure a lake? How do you determine the number of pounds of walleyes in a lake with a 20-mile diameter? So, but that isn't going to change. That's not going to change
nope.
up there. So,
nope. Unfortunately, it won't.
People just kind of walked away from it.
Well, and the thing comes down to, Don, you and I have talked about this, and Jim, we talked about earlier as far as before off air. When you look at measuring a lake's biomass, we also need to understand that a lake's primary habitat has changed dramatically over the past years. You and I, when we were up at Gull Lake, we were talking to Tom, and I asked a loaded question. I told you this about this, Jim. He said, I asked him, I said, Mille Lacs, you know, the numbers, you said the numbers are down. Are you measuring, you know, are you trying to locate fish in the same spots you always have in the netting location? He said, yeah, and they're just not there. Well, then I'm going to counter, and I'm going to say, and I know for a fact, walleye are no longer in those spots because the zebra mussels have cleared up the areas. The fish have shifted to more of a weed-based habitat than it has been as much in a rock pile scenario. Green Bay is a prime example. Green Bay has changed with the goby, and they used to run with the alewife. They used to migrate all the way down to the base of Green Bay and the Fox River. Well, now these fish are staying on these reefs. They're getting, and they've changed based on what's happened with the food source. The goby have become one of the number one food sources. They don't have that shift they used to have all the way down to migrate back. So realistically, in my mind, we need to have a consideration as far, okay, what are you doing in an adapting fishery? Well, they know it. But
right now, there's been a study going on, and it basically runs like this. They're looking at lakes that have been zebra mussel infested for 5 years or more and comparing them to lakes without zebra mussels. 38 lakes have been selected. We got an initial report a year ago on this, and it's a real great study, and right to your point as well. They found that basically it did not rate abundance, so it didn't look at how many numbers of walleyes, abundance levels in those lakes or the net counts. It just looked at the walleye itself. They found that on lakes without zebes, with zebes, the walleye average shrunk by 18-20%. That's the growth. That's the length, average length. When you turn around and look at the following 2 years or whatever on those lakes, it didn't seem to have any impact on the numbers. But we know with clearer water, those habits are changing, and the habits and the phytoplankton, the plankton that the fry are eating, has gone down dramatically, like as much as 50%. So the food fry eat when they pop up on the top of the water for a day and a half has to be there.
Exactly. And, right.
And in the cases where there's heavy zebra mussel infestation, it doesn't seem like they're there.
Yep.
Or half of them are there, yeah. So that's an issue, but they're monitoring that, and the DNR is doing a great job with that, and we're going to get more information on that in the coming months.
Fantastic. Well, Jim, I appreciate you coming on with us. This is fantastic. If you don't mind, we may keep your number and reach out to you in the future. Getting the inside scoop and being able to spread the story and really take it to the more detailed level is what we're looking for. So thanks again, Jim.
Good
I appreciate
being with
it.
You anytime. Hey, fishing's a contact sport.
I love it.
Take
thanks.
Care.
You bet. You too. Have a good one. And we will be right back with more Valley Outdoors.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Well, Don, it's kind of nice to get the inside scoop from the advisory council. We haven't had anybody from that before.
How many people are on the advisory council?
I think there's 10.
10 people from around the state?
Yep. Tom Neustrom is one of them.
There's several different ways you can look at what they're trying to accomplish. I mean, to me, the ultimate goal is to have a good day fishing on the water, and it's not about how many you leave in the live well when you load the boat. You know, I'd rather go to a lake and have fantastic fishing and no limit or zero.
You can't catch any?
What's that? You can't keep any.
I mean, you can't keep any.
Right. I mean, to me, I'm more about that than I am about actually.
You might be.
Right.
Which is fine, but you're absolutely in the minority. Which is the unfortunate part, because the state survives on tourism, every state, as far as fishing goes. If you say you're going to go to a lake, you can't keep any?
The fishing would be so phenomenal, they'd be booked solid. I can give you several examples of camps in Canada that's exactly what happened.
I'm telling you right now, Malak is one of them, and they have exactly what we're talking about. They've got one fish, and the resorts have withered to nothing. Tell you what, guys, glad to have you guys with us. It's a heated discussion. I loved having that conversation. We are going to be back next week for Ava, Don, and myself. We are the Valley Outdoors. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Get outside and enjoy it.